As we prepare to worship, let's hear these words from 1 Chronicles 16. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wonderful works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Would you pray with me? Father God, your name is great, and you are so worthy of our praise. Father, we thank you this morning for a chance to just kind of slowly start regathering together. Just the faces in this room bring our hearts encouragement as we remember that we are not the only ones who are seeking hard after you. We are doing so in community. Lord, as we continue to worship in this strange season, we thank you that your presence is as real as ever, that your goodness is as good as ever. We thank you that in these moments we join all of creation in singing songs to you, the good God who is over every perfect gift. And so, Lord, would you fill our hearts in this place? Would you draw near in those places that we need you to draw near? Thank you for a chance to have an intimate gathering where distractions are even fewer than normal. Lord, it's an invitation of you whispering to us to just be with you for a while. And so could we do that in this place? Would your name be lifted high in our lives and this community? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you brought a Bible with you, if you will turn to John chapter 15. John 15, verses 12 through 17. This is Jesus speaking. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything I've heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. So the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. Would you pray with me? A living God, we turn to your word because we need to hear from you. God, we know that your spirit that inspired the writing of this word is the same exact spirit that is moving in our midst, in our lives, in these moments. God, we know that you have given us your word because you want us to know you. You want us to encounter you, and you want us to be changed by you. You've given us your word and your spirit because you want us to be fully alive in you. And so, God, we have come to receive. We ask that your spirit would move freely in us and among us, helping us hear whatever it is that you want us to hear, so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be. So you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I grew up singing the hymn that I'm sure many of you did as well. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. If Martha was here this morning, I'd have her play for just a little while. What a friend we have in Jesus. The guy who wrote this hymn, his name was Joseph Scriven, and he wrote it whenever he was in Canada. His mother was ill in Ireland, and he couldn't be with her, and so he put this little poem together to remind her, Jesus is with you, and he is your friend. But Joseph Scriven didn't make this up on his own. It wasn't his original idea. All throughout the pages of Scripture, we are reminded that we serve a God who chooses to live in friendship with us. Perhaps the best place, these words in John 15. Jesus is about to go and be with his Father in heaven, about to leave this earth as he has known it in his ministry. And before he goes, he wants to be sure that his disciples get exactly who they are, because things are going to be different when they can't see him all the time. And so he wants to emphasize as much as he can to these guys, you are my friends. You can picture them in a circle, and he looks the 12 in the eyes, and he says, no greater love has anyone than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. It would be just a few weeks later, they would look up on that cross and see Jesus hanging there, looking out over his people, and they would remember these words and say, oh, that is love. We must be those friends. He says, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends because I have shared with you what is in the depths of my heart. You only do that with your friends. He says, you are my friends. Can we pause for just a moment and try to get our hearts around that truth once again? Jesus is your friend. If that just kind of comes off as old news and doesn't put this lump in your throat immediately, then something is just a little bit off. Because this is no small news. Here we've got the living God, the creator of the universe, the one who knows the number of every star in the sky and the numbers of the grains of sand on the sea. The same God who knows all of our own shameful secrets that we try to kind of hide from others. That's the same God. And what he's saying is, I see you too. And I choose you. And I want to be not just your overlord God, not just your taskmaster God. I want to be your friend. We serve a God who calls us his friends. And that is a really big deal. So this morning we ask, what does it really mean that we have a friend in Jesus? And you're probably not going to learn anything new today, because you know what it is to have friends. You've got some, at least a couple, I hope. You know what it is to have a friend. And really, when Jesus says, I am your friend, it's the same. He's that kind of friend. A friend is someone to call on. If you're making a trip to Silverdale this afternoon by yourself and you just kind of want to fill that space and you want to call somebody for no real reason, you've got no big news to share, you just kind of want to shoot the breeze, you know, chit-chat a little bit, who's the person that you call? That person is your friend. You don't call your doctor, say, hey, I'm just on a drive, can we talk for a bit? You call your friend. Jesus says, you have a friend in me. That means you can call on him. You can just shoot the breeze with him. You can call just to check in. He's not going to screen your call ever. He's not going to be too busy and say, you know, try back tomorrow. He's there, ready to hear what's on your heart, trivial as it may be. Because you've got a friend in Jesus. A friend is someone who chooses us. You know, they say about family that those are the people that we have to love. But friends, those are the people that we get to choose to love. And they say family, those are the people that you're born into, that you have to live with. Friends, those are the people that you get to choose to share your life with. It's a choice. It's special. I remember in elementary school, every day at recess, I would want to go play soccer with mostly the boys. There was just a few other girls that would play. And the most excruciating moment of any given day in elementary school was about those 3 minutes on the soccer field right before we started, when they had to pick teams. And the team captains were always the same two guys, the two most popular guys in the fifth grade, Dane and Andy. And they would each have their little sides of the field, and they would start picking their team. And now, do you think that in fifth grade, Dane and Andy were having long-term goals for their soccer team, and they were choosing the very best goalkeeper, and the fastest forward, and the person with the best ball-handling skills? Do you think that's how they chose their team? No. You're right, Alice. That's not how they chose their team. Dane and Andy, they chose their team based on who their best friends were, then their second best friends, and then their third best friends. Friends don't let friends go unchosen. And so Dane and Andy would take turns picking their friends. By the time you were to number four, it was kind of their mere acquaintance. By the time they got to me, it was just that kid they never learned the name of. They would just point at you, "Oh, I've been in school with you for 3 years. Yeah, you, whoever you are, you're on my team." They chose by their friends. Because friends don't let friends go unchosen. What a friend we have in Jesus. He chooses you. Chooses to have you on his team. He chooses to call your name out of the crowd. He chooses to try out today's adventure, whatever it may be, with you on his side. You see, Jesus isn't forced to love or even to like you. Jesus chooses to love and even to like you. You are chosen. You have a friend in Jesus. That's good news. A friend is someone who just wants to be with us. If you're hanging at home one day, sometimes it's just nice to have a friend there too. No agenda, just someone to be in that place with you. If you're off on a new adventure and you're going to be traveling or seeing something beautiful, something you've never seen before, it's just more fun to share those kind of experiences with a friend. You see, when we're with our very best friends in the world, you'll notice that you never really feel like you're just tagging along. And you never get this sense that they're just putting up with you just to kind of be nice because they have to. With real friends, we always have this sense. We know that our presence is seen as a gift, a want even. We know that they think that things are just better when we are there in it with them. What a friend we have in Jesus. He always just wants to be with us. He just wants to hang with us. He just wants to invite us to share the day with him, however relaxed and boring or adventurous it may be. It doesn't matter to him. It's not about where we're going. He just wants to be with us. He doesn't see us as a third wheel. He doesn't see us as a tag along. Get this, Jesus actually thinks whatever he has in mind for this day and his kingdom and his world, it's actually better for him when we're sharing it with him. Jesus just loves spending time with his friends. What a friend you have in Jesus. And then a friend is someone who carries your joys and your griefs with you. When you have a true friend, you know that your celebrations aren't going to be seen as any kind of threat or competition to them. But they will just rejoice when your heart rejoices, even if it has nothing to do with them at all. And your true friends, on the other side, they will grieve when you grieve, even if it has nothing to do with them at all, because you're their friend. It has to do with them. Do you know Jesus had some best friends on earth? And one of his very best friends was Mary of Bethany. And there's this day when her brother has passed away. He's been in the tomb for days, and Jesus shows up. And standing outside of his tomb, Mary begins to weep. And Jesus sees his best friend weeping. And what does he do? But he weeps too. a true friend carries our grief with them. And then when Jesus has some friends who are getting married, remember what he does then? He joins the celebration. And he doesn't just join in a little bit. He turns the water into wine and he makes it a bigger and better celebration than it ever could have been otherwise. You see, Jesus was a true friend, celebrating with the joyful, weeping with the grieving. And Jesus is your true friend, delighting in what your heart delights in and breaking in his own heart when your heart is broken. You have a friend in Jesus. A true friend listens. They just sit by your side, unhurried, and they simply listen as you speak into being whatever is on your heart. Your best friends in your life today, if I asked you who they were, you would describe them as people who really know you. And if I asked, well, how did they come to know you? You'd probably say, oh, it's happened over time. They've just listened to me as I've shared my life with them. Have you ever noticed in the Gospels how many questions Jesus asked as he walked on this earth? Tons. Jesus asked tons of questions. The God of the universe, who knows everything, who knows all the answers, still chose to go by way of asking questions. He would lead most of his conversations by a question. Who do you say that I am? What do you want? Where's your husband? Why do you call me Lord and teacher? Why are you anxious about your clothes? Why are you afraid? Do you believe that I can? Why did you doubt? Those are just a few of them. There's tons of questions as you read the Gospels. And you know what these questions are doing? They're getting the other person to talk. While Jesus is sitting there next to them, just listening. Questions. When you ask somebody, they invite them to begin to search into the depths of their heart and try to give words to who they really are and what's really going on in there. And when we start to do that, Jesus is the captive audience who just can't wait to listen in and hold whatever is in our hearts with us. Anytime that we feel ready to be real about what's on our hearts with Jesus, he is all ears. Full attention. Jesus listens. What a friend we have in Jesus. Finally, then, a friend is someone who has our back. We just know that our true friends, we know that they're not out there gossiping about us. We know that. We don't even lose sleep over it. We just know. And we know our true friends, if someone says something about us around them that's untrue, they don't just walk away silent, but they speak up and they defend our integrity. And we know that our friends don't just passively watch us be mistreated, but they actively stand in and they're willing to say, I'm with him, or you mess with her and you mess with me. Friends, they look out for us when we're with them and also when we're not with them at all. They're the same. They've got our back. You know, Jesus says, whatever you do for the least of these, you do it for me. And then he also says, whatever you don't do for the least of these, you don't do it for me. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I've got their back. He's saying, I claim my children. I claim my friends. And if you hurt one of them, you are hurting me. He says that about you. Jesus has your back. He'll walk with you in the dark valley. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He will give you a good name as you live in friendship with him. He won't tear you down. He won't act one way in your presence when you're at worship and another way when you're far off doing your own thing. He's the same. Jesus. He's your friend. And he wants you to stand. And so he will stand with you. Jesus will have your back. What a friend we have in Jesus. Someone to call on. Someone that chooses us. Someone that just wants to be with us. Someone to share our joys and our griefs with us. Someone who is glad, honored to listen to our hearts. Someone that has our backs. That's a friend. And we've got one in Jesus. So I guess the big question today then is, does Jesus have that same kind of friend in us? Does Jesus have that same kind of friend in us? When he's looking for someone just to call, just to chat, just to shoot the breeze, is it me that he knows is always willing to answer the phone? When he's looking for someone to choose him in a world of a million different choices, does he look out and see me pointing to him in the crowd and saying, I want him. I choose him. When he's got a celebration on his heart, does he know that I will be the first in line to celebrate with him, even if it's got nothing to do with me? And when his heart is breaking, does he just know that I'll be one of the first ones to ask him about that and to let my heart break too? And when Jesus needs someone to hear what's on his heart for a change, does he look to me because he knows that I will actually listen to him? And when this world mocks and ignores him, does he know that I've got his back? That I'll stand up and I will speak up for his good name? What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. I wonder this morning if he would sing the same song in return. What a friend I have in Jamie. Would he say that? What a friend I have in your name. Would he say that? Could Jesus sing that song today? We sing out what a friend we have in Jesus. And that he might echo, what a friend I have in you. Isn't that a beautiful song? Might that be the song on our lips and his lips this day? Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, our friend, my friend, thank you that in you there is friend enough for all of us. Thank you that your intimate friendship with me does not take away from your intimate friendship with anyone else. But your love is that extravagant and that complete that you can choose us all for your team and honor us as individuals chosen just the same. Lord Jesus, thank you that you stand with us, that you listen to us, that you celebrate and grieve by our side, that you're always there if we just call out, that you just want to hang with us. What a friend we have in you, oh Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's good to have a friend. And Jesus, this week, might each of us live out our friendship with you. Might we be the people that care for your heart, that care for your name, and that delight being in your presence. We want to be good friends, Jesus, because you're so good to us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.